Certainly good to look out in the audience and see all of you here this morning. We appreciate your presence with us, especially those that are visiting with us. We're so thankful that you've come to be with us and invite you back anytime you may have the opportunity to be with us at our services here at Margaret Street. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to take them and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We'll begin our reading this morning in verse 1. Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, says, "If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things the sake of the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in which ye were also walked in time when ye lived in them. But now you're also, but I also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian nor Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." You know, we must concern ourselves with developing the new life, developing the life that God wants us to live. You know, when I read these 17 verses we've just read here from Colossians chapter 3, I'm impressed with the fact that that is what Paul is telling. He's writing to Christians, and he's saying to Christians, you need to make sure you're ordering your life, you're building your life to conform into the image of Jesus Christ. You need to become like him. Imagine, as I look out in the audience this morning, of all the people I see sitting before me, I think of all the potential that is had that is sitting within this room this morning. I think about the potential for good, the potential for holiness, the potential for showing the world Jesus Christ. I think about how much we need to make sure we're doing what Paul tells the Colossians to do. And that we order our lives, that we make our lives what God wants them to be, that we make our lives like Christ's life, that we mortify the old evil deeds and the things in this earth and the things that we have on earth, and that we focus our attention and things upon things that are glorious, the things that are eternal, and that we put off all this evil, this anger, this wrath, the malice, the blasphemy, the filthy communication, that we put off all those old deeds of the old man, and that we put on the new man. That we put on, as he says here in verse 12, the bowels of mercies and kindness, forgiveness, and love. What I'm talking about this morning is we're talking about maturity. Maturity. You know, it's not just enough that we sit there and we learn the truth and we obey the gospel when we become a Christian. I want to tell you, there is not a greater thing that'll ever happen in the life of an individual than one will come and say, I'm ready to change my life. I'm ready to repent of my sins. I'm ready to make that change in my life, and I want to become a New Testament Christian. I'm going to tell you, there's no greater joy than seeing a soul do that. I have held within my arms a baby handed to me. And it was a baby that was my own. It was my own son. And I want to tell you, I know the joy that there is in holding that son. I'm going to tell you, the greater joy there is when somebody says, I want to become a Christian. The greater joy. Seeking the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. But you know, sometimes it's not easy for us to think about that, because we think about life and we think about our fleshly connections and we think about our families and we think about that child that we hold and we love it so dearly. And you know, the heart strings are tugged as we think about that. But you know, when we really start to focus and we start maturing as Christians, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and going to the cross and dying that cruel death and the sacrifice that was given for me, the sacrifice that was given for everyone, everyone who will say, I want to be a disciple of Christ. I'm ready to submit myself to Him. That ought to be a joy. But you know, the joy doesn't end there. The joy doesn't end there. No, the joy ought to continue from there. The joy ought to be the fact of one who obeys the gospel. And then after obeying the gospel, they begin to work. They begin to serve. They begin to do the things which Christians ought to be doing. And what Paul is writing, he's writing to these Christians at Colossae, and he's saying what you need to do is you need to understand maturity. It's not about just starting the life. The start is not the goal. It's not enough just to say, well, I've gotten started. We've got to finish. We've got to grow up in Him into all things. I'm thinking about over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, where Paul, same epistle, says, speaking of Christ, he says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect. The idea there is not perfection. The idea there is mature. That we may present every man mature in Christ Jesus. Are we maturing like we ought to? Are we being rooted and built up in the faith? You know, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 5 writes about some Christians, and he writes to them, and he's not commending them. He says, for the time when you ought to be teachers, you have need of one come and teach you what? The first principles of the gospel. You need to go back and you need to learn the first principles, because you're not ready for the strong meat. He says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, therefore we ought to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and let us go on into perfection. We ought to go on to perfection, to maturity. You know, when we see this, I think about over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. What does Peter admonish in the conclusion of this epistle? He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow. But you know what? Sometimes you see people that aren't growing. And that can be very discouraging. You can see people who do not see the value of coming to services like this. They don't see the value of coming to Bible study and studying the Bible for an hour and taking time to sing and to pray. You know, we're going to have a song service tonight. And it's amazing how many times there will be people who will say, well, I just don't see the value in coming and singing for an hour. Or maybe as we're going to do Friday night, and we're going to sing for an hour and a half. And somebody says, I don't see the value in coming on Friday night and singing for an hour and a half. Did you catch the last few verses that I read there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16? Let's go back there and look at that again. He says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We are singing. And how do we come? We come closer. We come closer involved by our pouring out of our hearts. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says what? Sing and make melody in your hearts to the Lord. You know, but we don't see sometimes the value of singing. We just say, well, that's just what we do. We do some songs to get everybody woke up so the preacher can get up and preach. No, it's not a warm-up. The singing is not just a warm-up to the service. It's not the warm-up to the preaching. You know, you go to concerts and they always have what they call a warm-up band. I'm afraid sometimes that's the way we look at singing. It's just kind of a warm-up to what else is going to happen. But you know, singing is not just a warm-up. Singing is worship. And we need to see the value of that. But you know, when we're not mature sometimes, we don't see that. We don't see the value of the teaching and the admonishing of songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. We don't see the value of coming to worship. We don't see the value of studying God's Word. We don't see the value of reading our Bibles and growing and developing. But we need to. How was your attitude before you became a Christian? How was your attitude about things like worship services, going to service and going to Bible class? And you know, I don't know. I mean, there are many of you that came different ways. I know some of the backgrounds of some of you. Some of you grew up going to church all of your life. Your parents took you to church. This is all you knew. You kind of like me. And so you have one disposition of how you viewed. And maybe as you were a young person growing, maybe you saw this as just a dull something that you did, your parents did. But maybe then you obeyed the gospel. You became a Christian. I hope after you obeyed the gospel and you became a Christian that things took on a different meaning for you. They should, as you grow and you develop. Maybe you didn't go to church much. Maybe you saw this as a total waste of your time. There are many people who are out there today in the world who are not here or anywhere else like here, and they're out there in the world, and they're thinking what those people are doing up there is just a total waste of their time. And maybe that's where you were. Maybe without faith in Christ, maybe without understanding the gospel, that's where you were. I don't know where you were, but where were you? You remember. Go back in your mind. Go back in your mind and remember where you were. And then I think about your life. Think about where you were in your life. Think about what the values you held and the values you didn't hold. Think about that for a moment. And then turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing and he's talking about people who before were not Christians. They were alienated from their life with God. They were ignorant and they weren't serving God because of the blindness of their heart. They were blinded to these things. They were past feeling, verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 4. They were past feeling and had given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. That's before they were Christians. And maybe that describes maybe you to some degree. I don't know. But he says, but you've learned Christ. And because you've learned Christ, there ought to be some things different about you. If you've heard, if you've been taught of Him, you've been taught the truth as it is in Christ. Verse 22, notice with me, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which is after God, and created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, that's what we're doing. We're trying to grow. We're trying to develop into this person that we ought to be. And oftentimes we do not see that. But where were we? In developing godly values, where are we? Are we closer to where God wants us to be in the value of spiritual things today than we were when we obeyed the gospel? Or do we just still maybe see things much like we did? We really haven't changed our mindset. It really hasn't changed us. The mentality has not really grown. It hasn't developed. You know, I think about Paul and many of his writings and his epistles. I'm thinking about over in Romans chapter 12. I'm thinking he's writing to Christians. And I notice with me what he says when he writes to these Christians at Rome. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I just want to stop and say, you know, why would he have to write to Christians? Why would he have to write to Christians and say, I beseech you that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice? Because Christians need that admonition. Just like the Romans needed that, the Colossians needed that, and David Anthony Cox needs that. And every one of you needs that. Because you see, it's so easy for us to get complacent with where we are. It's so easy for us to not see things really as spiritually as we ought to. And maybe we begin to see other things as having much more value than they already ought to have. And that really becomes the primary focus and purpose of our life. Well, I hope that we understand that we need to change. We need to develop a value system that is different. We need to change our thinking. Because you see, what we are is we are a product of our thinking. You see, you say, well, you know, David, I'll just perfectly honest, my life hasn't changed that much before I was a Christian or now. I really don't see that I'm doing much different. And maybe even as a Christian, maybe you look at your life and say, as a Christian, where are you today? Where were you 10 years ago? Where were you 15 years ago, if the case would be? Where are you? Where were you today is related to a year ago or 2 years ago. Where are you? And you may say, well, there really hasn't. Maybe there is a change. Maybe you're making strides, and that's good. But you see, the whole matter of change comes because we change our way we think. I'm turning my Bible now, if you will, and turn with you and yours back to Proverbs chapter 4. Because Proverbs chapter 4 tells us something that I think is so crucial to our developing godly values, to developing a mindset of spiritual things. When he says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Then, if you will, turn to the 23rd chapter. 23rd chapter of Proverbs. Look with me at verse 7. He says, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Do you see what he is saying, the wise man? He says, keep your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are really the things that matter. Make sure your heart's focusing on the things that really matter. Those are the issues. Keep your heart with all diligence. Make sure. Why? Because as a man thinks, there he is. How do you know whether you're closer to God or not? It's a matter of your thinking. It's a matter of your thinking. I think about this. I think about over in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, if you're there, you can turn back there with me to Philippians chapter 4. Notice with me what Paul says when he's writing to these Christians at Philippi. And he writes to them, he says, remember, you need to have the mind that was also in Christ Jesus. And he talks about that in chapter 2. He then comes on down and says, you know, your mind. And he comes on down and he says, you know, you need to be careful. Don't be anxious about the things that you're around in life. Don't be concerned about all these things and anxious over them. They're the things on the earth, remember. But let the peace of God, verse 7, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You need to keep your minds, you need to keep your hearts in Christ. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Your mind is important, and we are a product of our thinking. And so we need to mature. Well, maturing involves the mind. It involves a change of thinking. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. How do you do that? By the renewing of your mind. Change your mind. Change your thinking. I don't have to tell any of y'all this. I enjoy going to ball games. I love to watch a good game. Now, Carrie can tell you that. She says, that's all we ever do, sit here and watch sports. I said, what else is on TV? I love it. But I want to tell you what. The joy there is in going to ball game doesn't supersede the joy I have in gathering with people on Sunday morning and singing praises to God. And bowing our heads together and praying together to God. And partaking of the Lord's Supper together. And to studying God's Word together. That thrills me. It ought to thrill every Christian. But what do? We'll go to a ball game. We'll sit out there. I'll just be honest with you. I have sat out there in 25-degree weather watching a football game on a Friday night. And what would we do if we walked up here and our building didn't have any heat in it this morning? We would have said, oh, it's too cold. There's ice on the roads. It's raining. The sun's not out. I don't feel good. Well, that's right. Things happen. But do we thrill? Do we thrill when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord? David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. We need to develop that kind of mindset. And the way we do that, we think on these things. We think on the things that are true. We think on the things that are honest. We think on the things that are just. We think on the things that are pure. We think on the things that are lovely. We think on the things that are of good report. We think on virtuous things. We think on praiseworthy things. We don't worry and complain about all the things that do not matter. What we tend to do is we find ourselves majoring in the minors way too much. Because they're not doing it the way I want to do it. They're not singing the songs I want to sing. The temperature's not the lights are not as bright or as dim as I think they are. We can talk about all kinds of stuff. We can get excited if the yard's not mowed, the trees aren't trimmed. Do we get as excited? Do we get as concerned about souls that are not in the assembly and we don't know where they are? Do we get as excited about that? Maybe we don't. We need to develop that godly value. We need to change our values. We need to change the way we think about those kinds of things. And so this becomes a regular thing. What Paul is saying, he says, you do this on a regular basis. You put into action what you have learned. You practice righteousness. You go through your life looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You look to his example and you live your life as an example to others. Talking about things that are true. Talking about things that are honest. Talking about things that are just, talking about things that are pure, talking about things that are worthy, talking about things that are good report, talking about things that are virtuous, talking about things that are praiseworthy. It will affect you. It'll affect the people around you. But oftentimes we fail to do that. We forget and we focus on things on the earth. And so we've got to do this. And it needs to be our mind. A godly value system is going to help us. It's going to help us as we try to overcome sin, as we strive to live a life that's in accordance with God's will. You want to know what you can do to help some weakness that you have in your life? Develop the godly value system. Get your minds thinking. Get your minds focusing on God's word and his will and his way. Then you'll take care of those problems you have. All your problems that we already have in life really are very insignificant when you place them in the scale of things. When I think about the problems I have and I think about eternity, it puts everything in perspective. I don't get the job I want. That's catastrophe. If I'm just thinking about it from a temporary standpoint. But when I put that into scale of eternity, it really doesn't matter. The girl I want to go out with on a date tells me no. It really doesn't matter when you put it in the scale of eternity. The suffering that I must go through, whatever and how tragic it may be, really compels to nothing when I put it in the scheme of eternity. The way Paul said it, he said it like this. He said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed to us. That's godly values. That's godly thinking. And may God help us to put those kind of values and that kind of thinking into our lives, that we may truly be maturing into the servants and maturing into the image of His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It may be that you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ. This morning, as I said earlier, there's no greater joy that there could be than one would come and say, I want to become a Christian. I want to be baptized into Christ. I want to be a disciple. And this morning, if you are ready to do that, you've heard God's word, and you're ready to repent of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, Son of God, we can take you this very hour and baptize you into Christ. You can come up out of that watery grave, a new creature, born again into God's family. Maybe you've done that in times past. You need to make some changes. Then determine to do that this morning. If you need to come and ask for prayers for the saints and for your forgiveness, for your strength, just let us know how we can help you. While we stand and sing, won't you?